The reading appointed for today is recorded in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians. And it begins at verse 11, chapter 11, verses 19 to 12, 9. And I wanted to just let you all know it is a very lengthy passage, but it's certainly worthy of reading in its entirety. So Paul writes, "For you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves, for you bear it if someone makes slaves of you, or devours you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or strikes you in the face. To my shame, I must say, we are too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I am boasting and speaking as a fool. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham's? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is a daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to fall, and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Aristus was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weakness. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he seems in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
Thank you. That was beautiful. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 30. If I must boast, I will boast of things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is blessed forever. This text, this lengthy text of 2 Corinthians 11, 19 through 12, 9, is really all about what I would call Christ credentials. We know what's going on in 2 Corinthians, and if not, you can certainly look it up in a commentary or you can Google it. The congregations are embarrassed over Paul. He doesn't shine like the uber apostles. They are so handsome and articulate, smooth talking, and they tell the people of Corinth pretty much what they want to hear. Rather, they should be called ersatz apostles, fake leaders, far from being superior to the great apostle. We know about these frauds from Paul's letter, that these fake apostles boast of their education, they boast of enlightenment and all that is good and wise in Greek culture and understanding of scriptures to further their own agenda. You see, according to the Corinthians, in their sinful nature, it's all about credential. And their credentials are that of to be strong or educated or sophisticated or wise. So what does Paul do? He sets forth his credentials and hope in Christ. And I'll get to that again in a moment. Credentials have always been very important. They're not always academic, but nonetheless authority and authorization to accomplish what you are appointed to do. In the army, having certain credentials gives you respect to lead men and women in winning our nation's wars. As a chaplain, credentials allow a pastor to gain entry into the military culture, to bring the light of Christ, to proclaim law and gospel, and administer the sacraments to the men and women in uniform. Now, here's what I mean. If you want to serve as a chaplain in an airborne battalion or an airborne brigade, your credential is worn on your chest and on your feet. That's right. You wear wings on your chest awarded by the Grueling Airborne School at Fort Benning, Georgia, and you're authorized to wear a particular type of boots given only to airborne infantry soldiers. If you do not have the boots or the wings, no one in the airborne has time for you. It doesn't matter if you preach like an angel, you're as powerful as Hercules, intelligent as Socrates, your credential is worn on your chest and on your feet. In the Army, another credential is on your right shoulder. If you've been in combat, you wear what's called a combat patch. Everyone sees it and acknowledges you as a warrior. If you are found wearing anything on your uniform not earned, whether it be boots or wings or patch, you not only lose credibility, but face among the men and women. And you may have to stand before the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and you could go to prison. We have an unwritten code in the Army concerning other credentials as well. A couple of years ago, I was responsible for placing what I would call qualified chaplains into an Army school called Clinical Pastoral Education with an emphasis in trauma. To even be considered, you have to have a recommendation from your commander and pass a competency board competing with other chaplains. One day after the board was complete, we were about to announce the results of this board and start preparing for the academic year. Out of the blue, and almost inappropriately, I received a phone call from a chaplain, a young man. And he told me, "Sir, I would like to be a clinically trained chaplain, and if possible, I want to go to an assignment where I can be of the greatest use." I asked his name. I didn't know him. And he told me. So I did what I was supposed to do as an assistant at that time. I had electronically pulled up his military record. I read it, and all that I could think of was the phrase, "Lord, have mercy." He was a war hero. He had multiple deployments, a Purple Heart for being wounded in combat, and he received additional awards for valor under withering enemy fire while caring for the wounded and honoring the dead. In his file, it was clear that the chaplain was recommended by not just an ordinary commander or any commander, but what we would call a combatant command general, those that usually take care of whole areas of operation like Iraq or Afghanistan. The chaplain was still recovering from his wounds and still wanted to serve. His sacrifice and dedication to duty caused us to stop. Literally, the whole system stopped so that we could thank him for his dedication to duty and then immediately put him in the class. And then also what we did is we did the unheard of. We gave him a follow-on assignment of his choice to care for military families and military personnel. So what are the Apostle Paul's credentials? To bring good news of Jesus. When compared to the false apostles, he was not handsome, espoused wealth, was not loved by the community he visited. Earthly authorizations were not important to the apostle. But he has two amazing credentials: weakness and Jesus. The list of feebleness is extensive, of Paul's credentials are far greater labors, more imprisonments, countless beatings, often near death, 5 times the 40 lashes, less one, 3 times beaten with rods, Paul was stoned, 3 times shipwrecked, adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, robbers, his people, and Gentiles. Danger in the city, in the wilderness, at sea, danger of false brothers, toil and hardship, many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, and often without food and clothes and exposure, daily pressures of anxiety for all the churches. He was worried. He did not sleep well, no doubt. Paul reminds us of his humanity when he writes, "Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is made to fall? And I am not indignant." But Paul knows, and we know, our strength is in our weakness. Our strength is in Jesus, the fulfillment of the Old Testament, the promised Savior of the nations, the sacrificial Lamb who looks beyond our failures, our sinful condition, and is that one and only loving Savior, the King and source of our joy. So our credentials are better than any wings on our chest or boots on our feet or a patch of fabric on our right shoulder. Our credentials are in the wounds Christ endured on the cross. His death brought us peace. The shedding of his blood brought us life. And our baptism is a reminder of our credentials. The old Adam drowned and the new Adam arises. We are given a new mission with feet shod with the boots of the eternal God, responsible for carrying the gospel of peace. So no matter how weak you feel, how tired, how sick, how much we feel the old Adam is racing through us and causing us to trip and fall, we instead go to the words of the Apostle Paul in verse 9 of chapter 12, where he says that the Lord has said to him and says to us as well, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness." Paul goes on to say, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that the power of Christ might rest upon me." What comfort to take on a world sickened by sin, by shallowness, by pain and loss, a hopeless place without the light of Jesus, to bring the love of Christ, to be that beacon on a hill, that light, to bring the knowledge and the joy of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who indeed makes us strong when we are at our weakest. And in that, you may boast. We ask this in his holy and precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.